Today we have invited Bronwyn from Hutt Valley Riding for the Disabled. She's the center coordinator and the head coach of HVRD. HVRD has been supporting the disabled community in the Hutt Valley for 40 years. Bronwyn will give us some insight about their programs here in HVRD.
Approximately one in every 59 children are born with autism. Albert Einstein.
Dr. Einstein had no speech until age 3.
Steve Jobs. He was a loner. He brought snakes to school.
Leonardo da Vinci. This man was far advanced on the autism spectrum.
I'm not naughty. I'm autistic. And I just get too much information.
You're listening to Takiwa Tanga, Love Not Cure, Exploring Autism, One Strength at a Time.
Disabled is the term that we use,
yeah.
But when we talk about, you know, riding and their programs here, we talk about their abilities and their strengths rather than what they can't do.
Okay. What wakes you up and come here every day, and what's driving you every day to come here?
The satisfaction and the achievement that you see on the rider's face today. Of course, the horses, because you know, once you're horse mad, you're always horse mad. But it is really is around the achievement that the riders make.
Tell me about the programs that you have here.
So we have three programs which are run throughout New Zealand. We have the therapy program, sport and rec program, and our educational program. Each one has a different outcome. Everyone has different expectations. Our therapy program is more around our high needs riders. So they might have more than one need. So they may be their goals or their aspirations or their achievements may be physical. So maybe sitting, if they're in a wheelchair, sitting them up on the horse or lying them prone over or some form of specific physical activity.
Yeah.
Our educational is around, it's quite a socially based program. So it's around numeracy literacy, it's around the social connections that you make with the other riders and the volunteers. So it's not about horse riding, it's about learning on horseback. And then our sport and recreation program is around, that's our competitive, that's our learning how to ride program. So we teach you how to hold the reins, how to walk, trot and canter. There is a component of Special Olympics in there, so we have a memorandum of understanding and an association with Special Olympics New Zealand, and we're able to run the equestrian program for the Wellington group, and they train towards every 4 years attending the National Summer Games.
How do we assess, I mean, like if I will be, I have a child or a son who I wanted to join the program, how do we assess that?
So we receive a referral form from you, and that gives us some basic information on, you know, age, the disability. Yes, we talk about the disability because that gives us an understanding of what we can potentially expect. Once we have a space available, we will meet with the rider and their caregiver, and we will have a lot, and we'll chat about them, chat to them about what they want to do, what can you do, and we'll get them to do a couple of activities, maybe roll the dice, can you count the numbers, what colours have you got. So when I say test, we will assess their what they can do, and then they'll be on a program with riders that are trying to achieve the same things that they are.
So do you have like a testing the waters kind of thing? I mean, like, of course not everyone is fit for riding.
Absolutely.
I mean, and then do we do like, let's test it first if it's going to work for this child, or if the child will have a connection.
So part of our assessment is we do pop them on a horse and have a look at them on a horse, and then we gauge their feelings for it by how reticent they are, or how excited, or are they nervous, are they really don't want to do it. Then we can make an assessment after that as to, you know, what exactly we're going to do with them when they're riding.
And then how many currently do we have? I mean, like, in terms of how many kids are we do we have at the moment?
So we ride per school term. So we ride 4 terms a year, and we put through 120 riders a week, and that's for the 10 weeks. They're supported by 55 volunteers across that week.
In terms of the volunteers, I heard about the volunteers, so you did mention about them. Do we train them?
So all volunteers, most volunteers, they'll make contact with us first, either by email or phone or call-in or website. Then they go through an induction period. They do an online induction, which is about 2.5 hours, fill out some paperwork, so a volunteer agreement, and do a police check. And then we bring them in, and we tend to buddy them up with other experienced volunteers just so they get a feel for, you know, how it works, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, where you put your stuff, how riding helmet fits, all the stuff you need to support the rider.
Do you have like a number of hours of training that they need to have in order for them to start like doing the support to the kids like on their own?
We just gauge that by how quickly they feel comfortable in that situation. Most volunteers after potentially one or two sessions are pretty okay with, yep, I'm okay, I can do this by myself. They're well supported by our three coaches. So we've got a senior coach and two assistant coaches. They're on the ground in the ride. They are responsible for ensuring the among other things, ensuring that the volunteers are comfortable doing it. And it may be that there's some challenging behaviour, so being able to educate the volunteer on what that means for that rider. It might be you don't engage eye contact. It may be that you ask them two or three things and that's it. Maybe that they have to choose something or you give them an option. So there's a variety of ways to assist the rider.
Well, tell me about that NZQA qualification. So can anyone just go here and apply for a volunteer or something?
Anyone can volunteer here. Anyone can apply to undergo the training. It is run by the EITO, the primary ITO, which is supported by NZRDA, so they're the ones that administer the, you know, the workbook and the answers, and they provide the mentors and the assessors, that kind of thing. You do need to be affiliated to a group because there is, of course, we've got to pay for that, but they do get an equine certificate at the end of it. And Susan's just starting on her level 4, so that'll be really good.
So how long does it take for her to finish?
They say, off the top of my head, I don't know how many credits it is, but I think we allow about a year, mostly because generally the people that are going for the certificate are already employed as a coach. And once you've done your coaching and your horse manager stuff, there's sometimes not a lot of days left, hours left in the day to do some training. But yeah, so they're broken down, like all qualifications broken down into modules.
You mentioned NZQA.
So they administer they own the unit standard, which is what the certificate's made up of. I'm going to say 15 unit standards in the level 3.
And most of them are like, you call that placement activities?
Yes,
right?
Placement activities, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like written exam, going to class and stuff.
No, it's not. There is of course written and oral and practical components to all of them. Mm-hmm. So you do have to sit down and do the written stuff, but you know, it's not like you go to a class, it's not like you're doing your trade suit.
Yeah.
And you've got to do a 6-week block course at Polytech, whatever it is. Yeah. Most of it's on the job.
Yeah. Yep. And then after they've finished that, they can do the work, like,
yep.
Same thing as like,
they can still work out in the ride area while they're doing the certificate as well. It's just a nice another feather in their bow. I think from a looking in, if you see that someone is qualified, you're going to have a little bit more faith that the experience and the safety is there. Not that it wasn't before, but do you know what I mean? Looking outside and as a parent, I mean, I suspect as a parent you would feel a lot more comfortable knowing that actually there is some training behind this, you know, and I can see that training because the certificates are on the wall.
Yeah, and then this, yeah, and recognized. And
yep, the recognition, absolutely.
Yeah, they can go anywhere. It's going.
They
through.
Absolutely can. Yes, so if they didn't want to work at Hutt Valley and they moved to Auckland, they could easily take that with them and say, "Oh, my level 3 coach," and most RDA groups would go, "Brilliant, you're starting tomorrow."
Oh. That's great. So how do you handle, like, of course, if you are, let's say, for an autistic child,
yep,
once they get acquainted with the horse and they already have this routine,
yes,
and then in terms of the volunteers, if they are also acquainted with the volunteer and they don't want to change the person assisting them,
yep,
how do you handle that?
So we do take quite a bit of guidance from the rider's main caregiver, often the parents. We try to be as organised as possible. So for example, if we have Jane Doe on a Tuesday and she's been here every Tuesday, but this particular day she can't be, we always try to ring the parent in time and they will then help us say, "You got someone different today, how exciting is that?" We do absolutely appreciate that sometimes change of routine is really hard for, particularly if you're on the autistic spectrum, then it is really hard to accept that change. So we try to make it as easy as possible.
I know we had a bit of a discussion in terms of the requirements,
yep,
of the program. do we need someone to refer the, if let's say I'm interested about that, do we need someone from the school to refer there, to refer the child, or I can just refer my child?
Both, and we have doctors and we have district health boards. There's a lot of, you know, support in the district health board area, so we get lots of referrals, but it's important that we receive a referral. And then once we've done, as we talked about, we look at the assessment when we've got a space, we also need a rider participation form, and that's around privacy of information. You know, this is what we'll do for you, this is what we expect from you as the rider, and then we also need a medical certificate from the doctor. So that's more around, yes, the condition that you have says it's okay to ride. There are a very few that you won't be able to ride with, but the doctor says you're okay to ride. And then from a coach perspective, the doctor will also list out, are there some medications we need to be aware of that might change their behavior if the medication's not working, make them sleepy, that kind of stuff. And then also tells us what the disability is. Again, we need to work around that, so we know what the strengths are.
In your view, how effective it is for someone who has an autism or maybe other disabilities as well?
When I first started in 1983, we were mostly looking at cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, so a lot of the physical neurological conditions. Over the years, that's changed, and looking at our stats, and pretty much most of our riders are on the autistic spectrum, or on some form of spectrum. So we've had to adapt our riding program. In 1983, you could have four riders that had spina bifida, for example, and your outcomes or your expected outcomes and the way that you coached would be very similar. We've had to change now that so that it's very individual, because everyone on the spectrum is very different, and there's varying degrees of some are non-verbal, some are highly functioning. So you need to be able to identify what the best strength is. And then I find a lot of our in common with people on the spectrum are the social skills, and that's why the majority of them are in our education program, because it's not about riding the horse, learning to ride a horse, for example. It's using riding skills to learn your left and right. So if you teach them how to hold the reins, and left rein is turn left, right rein, turn right. So even though they're holding the reins, they're not actually controlling the horse. We use lots of colours, lots of, let's match them up. We use lots of core strength, helps them sit up at the table, for example, when they go home. So we try to look at a lot of the social impact that the riding has. We call them life-changing experiences, because they can be quite life-changing. Yeah.
Plus, it's not offered anywhere else, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. It's not like there's four of us in the Hutt Valley and you get to choose which one you want to.
It's a different kind of experience, especially for me. I think the last time we had a catch up, I read the book about the horse boy. And then it's like a different experience, especially not everyone has a horse, and they can have a horse, but where are they gonna put the horse? You know what I mean? It's not really something that you can really have something.
It's not like having a bike. You can't just have a horse in the backyard. Because there is a whole lot of other stuff around, caring for horses and that kind of thing.
And then that's why it's a little different in terms of experience, and maybe that's something special for the kids.
Definitely. And there's certainly lots of examples of our riders who have brothers or sisters that have no disability. They'll go off riding their bike, and there's certainly evidence that riding a horse means that they can then partake in that kind of family activity, so that they can then be, this is going to sound terrible, normal. Do you know what I mean? So that they can do all normal activities, that kind of thing.
How are the kids doing so far? I mean, what's their experience? And when they come in inside the facility, perhaps sometimes some kids may have a bad mood at that day, but when they come in and then go out,
they are able to leave their bad day and their bad experiences the door. Sometimes they're not, and that's okay. And if we see them struggling, then we adapt as much as we can in terms of we'll either make the stall, let's ride, but let's make it a shorter ride, or let's not ride, let's do something horse on the ground, or let's only do one activity. So we'll try and make it a good experience for them, so that they can actually achieve something out of the day.
In terms of progression, I understand a lot of kids, we're helping a lot of kids in here. Do we see a pattern? Autistic kids are able to cope up faster. Some kids cope faster.
Yes, they do. Yep. So we, at each ride day, our volunteers sit down in front of our iPad. So we've just got a new CRM system, which we catalogued all our information in. Part of that is reviewing the ride the day. Yep. Right. And so that means, for example, did they have a bad day? So what did we do to make that better? Were they able to? Look, there's some that have a bad day and come in and you go, look, it's not going to work. They'll say it's not going to work. So that's fine. Cool. What do you want to do? Spend 5 minutes petting the horse and we'll see you next week. Or so again, we adapt. So part of that adapt is reviewing and saying, did that work in this week, this particular instance for that rider? Was there something we could have done better, differently, that kind of thing?
So you have like different strategies applied to different kids?
Well, no, it's more just different situations rather than different children. So if they come in, you know, we have a lot that run, so we've got quite a few runners.
Oh, yeah.
So what are we going to do? As a group, how are we going to manage that?
Mm.
So we've made sure that we've got some rules and boundaries. That sounds terrible, not obvious, but that's what we do. And if they're going to run, fine, well, then you run up the drive and then run in. Or do you know what I mean? So that let's get it out of your system so that when you're ready to ride, you're nice and calm and you can concentrate on your ride.
So you did mention about running. My child is a runner.
A runner,
and then
yes.
One of our concerns is actually safety.
Yes, so very, very much. Yes.
How do we look at safety around the facility?
So most of the riders are supported by a caregiver, either through the school or mum and dad or a family or some form of support. So from a one-on-one perspective, prior to coming into the building, then they're actually well supervised. We've got off-street parking. So if they do run, they generally run inside, which is really good. Running outside's a little bit of an issue, but most of the caregivers are pretty good. When they set foot in the arena, our volunteers are aware of who the runners are and they keep a bit of an eye. They might guard the door if it's too hard, or they might distract them with something, that kind of stuff.
Especially someone will be running across the arena and then, oops, there's a horse.
Yeah, there's a horse there, yeah. They're actually pretty good. They know that when they're on the sand surface arena, that they really can't run, particularly if there's horses there, because the horses will just run away and you don't want that. The running up, it's generally up the top and up and down the steps that we've got there on the viewing platform.
In terms of the training that we are providing with our volunteers,
yes.
In terms of the safety,
yep.
How about their awareness of the safety of the kids, not just themselves but the kids as well?
Yep, so they we generally assign the same volunteer with the same rider just for consistency and routine, so then they have a vested interest in making sure that that rider is safe while they're here.
Yep.
So part of that's being vigilant around, are they running, are they hurt, have we got the helmet on properly, are they wearing the right gear, are they ready to ride, so that kind of stuff.
Any particular requirements that you are seeking for those who wanted to join, and also what do they have to do? Do they have to call you, or?
So they generally they'll call us and we'll get their email details and send them off a referral form.
Oh.
So we need to receive that referral form. And then we look at the, as we've talked about, the assessment and the other bits of paperwork.
Yeah. How are we making parents feel comfortable that their kids are safe? I know we've touched about the safety, but in terms of the parents, it's a different kind of thing as well.
Of course it is.
Oh, yes. I'm worrying about my child. I know we're doing safety, but in terms of the parents, like for me, I would be more concerned my child is a runner. And so how are we in terms of looking after the parents' peace of mind?
So part of our assessment is when we do the initial assessment with the rider is we talk to the parent about what they want as well. So we try to incorporate that into the pre-ride routine, incorporate that when they're riding. Sometimes we will have the parents working with us in the ride. There's a different schools of thought. Sometimes the children are better without the parents. Sometimes they're better with. So that's an assertion that you make. Just by virtue of looking, you can see that there's not many, this sounds terrible, escape routes for riders. It really is the doors here. And I'm always the last lot of defence too, because I've sort of technically got to run past me. Not that I'm a fast runner, but at least I can say, oh, you know, this way or that way. We do have a toy box in the breakout tea room, and that's quite a big draw card, so a lot of our runners will run there instead of outside. So there's toys, let's go there.
Are the programs across New Zealand the same?
The core program, so the thinking around or the objectives around therapy, education, sport and rec are the same, but each program will probably deliver them slightly different based on the horses that they've got, the activities they've got, the volunteers, the number of volunteers they've got. Some may have a therapist on site, some may have a therapist that they can talk to, so that may well change the delivery of the programs as well. But generally it's the three programs. Yeah.
Three programs. Any other programs you have here apart from the riding?
Not for our riders with disabilities, no, that's just the three. We do have exercise riders that come in and exercise our horses. That's not a program particularly, but that's more for the welfare of the horses. Horses, but yeah, you know, they it ends up being quite a pony club kind of scenario, which is quite cool. Keeps the horses interested, gives them a new lease on life.
I know we're changing our behaviors as well, generally in across the globe in terms of COVID. How are we handling the changes brought about by this sudden?
Pretty well, actually. So when we were, of course, when we were in lockdown, no one was here except for our core workers who were looking after the horses. And then our riders, we were very well supported with riders and their parents because, of course, we consider them vulnerable children. So we need to be very careful as to the exposure that they have to, you know, COVID and cold and flu anyway. So we all of our volunteers are required to be masked up now, and anyone who comes on site is still required to be vaccinated. Most of the parents are on board with that anyway. I mean, that's how they would run their, that's how they would sort of run their family.
For those who has exemption, like especially those
kids. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our riders aren't necessarily required to mask up. We like our older riders to be masked before they hop on the horse. Take the mask off, because generally we can do the social distancing even though we're indoors. But certainly when they're often talking to us, you know, a bit closer, if they could mask up. But, you know, it's our responsibility to make sure that we are safe and we're keeping them safe as well.
Yeah. And obviously it's online class or program is not appropriate because they need to ride up.
They do, and the whole point is getting on and having the horses' movement help them.
Yeah, and that's the challenge. Your previous lockdowns, like, no one can ride.
No, obviously. That's right, yeah. So we just didn't, so we normally invoice our riders per term for the ride fee sessions. So we just didn't invoice, so we had lots of parents though that were very keen. Can we come down and pet the horses? Not at the moment, but I'll tell you when you can. Because it was that interaction with the horses that made it, you know, that is what the kids love.
Plus it's an opportunity for them to go outside of their
house. It really is. Yeah, it really was. But no, we just thought, no, for the sake of, for the sake of everybody, not at the moment.
Yeah.
I have noticed an underlying, I don't know if anxiety is the right word, but an underlying, which is getting better now, but an underlying anxiety around safety and everyone's safety and, you know, COVID and that kind of stuff. And people are far more responsible with staying home if they're sick and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing because, you know, that's how you're going to stop it.
Are we being inspected by, I don't know, external organisations in terms of safety?
Yeah, so there's two big safety aspects. So NZRDA have what they call a group resource library, which has all of our policies and procedures which are in line with the WorkSafe Act. And so we need to be, as a group, and there's 52 of us in New Zealand, 52 RDA groups throughout New Zealand, so we're all bound by the same guidelines. Here at Hutt Valley, we also have once a month, we have the building warrant fitness checked, so that's your fire alarms, your fire extinguishers, your safety signs, all those kind of things. So we have them checked once a month, and then of course we get our annual building warrant fitness. We once a year get reviewed by NZRDA for our operational certificate, which is all of the group resource manual. So it's making sure that our programs are safe for the riders and we've got all the appropriate gear. Are our horses safe? Are our facilities safe? So all that kind of stuff.
And the horses are getting checked as well by vets?
So we have a horse manager. So we currently have 11 horses on site here, soon to be two more.
Wow.
Hopefully. So we've got all shapes and sizes. We've got our smallest one is 13.2 and our biggest is 15.2. And we need the bigger and the smaller because we've got a variety of weights on all of our riders. Each horse is put together differently too, so they're going to move differently. So we manage them as they live outside most of the time, and they come inside the arena or the stalls when they're being caught and used in the riding sessions. And our horse manager looks after their care, so make sure their teeth are done, they're weaned, their shoeing's done, what sort of feed are they on, have we got enough grass, have we got enough hay, all that kind of stuff. And that's where the horse exercise girls come in, so they give them a bit of enrichment, that kind of stuff.
Are we funded by the government?
Or? No, we're not government funded at all.
Mm.
We are funded by riding fees and philanthropic trusts, so lotteries, grants, one foundation. We are supported with, there's probably 20 to 25 trusts that we would apply to for varying different, you know, most trusts will have they have guidelines about what they can and can't pay for. Our biggest cost, of course, is wages. So there's 3 paid coaches and 2 contractors. So they obviously need to be paid. So that's our biggest. That's my biggest job, is applying for grant funding for wages.
I mean, if you're a non-funded.
Yeah, well, it's nine grand a year for shoeing. It's close to 10 grand a year just for hay. You know, it's about 2.5 to 3 grand a year for feed. So yes, so a lot of the trusts will support us in that area as well.
So good thing we have a generous trust.
That's really good. Very, very good.
Otherwise, the kids would, you know, I mean.
Well, if we couldn't look after the horses, we wouldn't be able to ride the program.
Yeah. This is the same across all the whole IDA.
Yep, absolutely.
Do they have different funders, or this is just one, I mean, different donors providing funding to just the wider RDA and then split them?
No, most funders are per group and per region. So what, for example, what their funding might be available in Auckland, we might not get it in Wellington, but we might. Depends how far-reaching the grant funders are in terms of their, you know, their placement in New Zealand. We are well supported with lotteries and COGS, as are most, I think you'll find most RDAs in New Zealand are, which is really good. And there are some ones that are specific to us. To, you know, local to Wellington.
How can you define a success of a particular child who joins your program? I mean, like, how can we say that, okay, now you're comfortable that you can now graduate to our program?
So we have a couple of ways of measuring that. So we set some long-term goals and some short-term goals for them as part of our initial assessment. And every week we review the, as we talked about before, the sidewalker notes that will reflect the short-term goals particularly. But we can measure their success just based on, you know, what we see ride session by ride session. If we graduate them, sometimes they will, if they're able to, they might progress to our sport and rec program, and that's more of a long-term option in my view. In our view, that's more of a long-term option. There are riding schools if they want to carry on riding, then there are riding schools in the Hapa area they can go to. But there might be other things like swimming or tennis or something else that they can then progress on to. And we will chat with them about what that looks like. Say, you know, you've met your goals, well done, let's graduate you, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so in terms of that riding sport.
Board and rec?
Sport and rec, which is another option for them.
Yep.
They can progress on that within this facility as well, or?
Yes, so our sport and recreation program, there's quite a few coming in that are just riding for recreation.
Mm-hmm.
So they're riding, they're still learning how to ride, but that's their recreation, rather than walking or running or tennis or footy or any of that kind of stuff.
Do we have a schedule? Like, okay, every Monday it should only be for sports and rec, and then every Tuesday?
So we have, not every RDA group will sort it out like that, but we've done that. So Monday is our higher needs riders, and that's because we did have a therapist working with us. So we put all of our higher needs riders on the one day so that she could work with them. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are our educational days, and then Friday is our sport and rec program.
And that, but still flexible.
I mean, just in case. Yes, absolutely. As flexible as we can be. It's not always easy to put a sport and rec rider on a Monday because we just don't have our gear and our setup and our volunteers are not geared for sport and rec. Our sport and rec program is pretty much individual riders, so it's really just a coach and an assistant coach on the day. So they're all individual. They warm up the horses themselves, so the volunteer impact on a Friday is minimal. But Monday, of course, is the highest one because you might need 3 people for one rider, as opposed to your education when you might need just a leader or a visual sign.
Any additional item that you would like to add?
I mean, we have a really well-trained team here in Hutt Valley. Susan is our senior coach. She's pretty exceptional. She has really good rapport with the riders, so much so that she's able to, you know, if there is some challenging behaviour, she comes up with some really good strategies for managing that, but also making it good for the volunteers to manage it if she's not there or for whatever reason, you know, she can't help. She's ably supported by Serena and Sarah, who are both horsey people. Serena's been with us long time. She's been with us probably 5 years now, Susan 3 years. Sarah's actually been one of our senior volunteers, so she was responsible for looking after our horses. So like feeding the hay, feeding the feed, changing the water troughs, running fences, all the horse management stuff. And she's been doing that for 15 years. So we're very, very well supported. They recently all gained their Level 3 equine certificate in coaching, which is really good. So that's really good for them. So that's an NZQA qualification.
So what advice can you give to parents and kids potentially who are going to be finishing off their programs and about to explore some other areas as well?
Yep. So Susan is really, really good at that. And she will just give them, just say to them, you know, have a go. Give them the confidence. You know, riding's given you the confidence to have a go at doing stuff outside of here.
In terms of the skills that they have acquired,
yep.
I mean, we're pretty much confident that they're going to do well outside, you know?
Yeah, our theory around that is life is a life-changing experience, mm-hmm. is what we like to call them. You know, looking at, so horse riding has a lot of benefits anyway, just for you and I, get a lot of benefit out of it anyway. But when you have a disability, sometimes the benefits are amplified. For example, sitting up core strength, and I'm trying to do that now, yeah, sitting up core strength. So that may mean that a rider who improves their core strength can actually sit at the table and have dinner with their family. It may be that looking at their coordination and their strength in their legs, as we talked about before, they can go for a bike ride with their brothers or sisters. So do you know what I mean? So being really specific about some of the goals that we're trying to do. I like to say that a lot of our activities are using our hands, so we can do transferring, holding, a whole lot of that stuff. So it may be that they can hold a knife and fork, or they can do a zip up, or do you know what I mean? So some of their normal daily activities, like daily activities.
That's pretty much important, and especially
very much, yeah. Very much. And so our philosophy is that the majority of our riders are children, because the benefit to riding that they're going to get younger is going to pay dividends when they're older.
And do you have other riders coming back here as well? I mean, I know they may have graduated the program, but they still want to ride here.
No, so we don't run a riding program particularly like that. We do have some that come back and want to volunteer in the horse side of things, you know, so, but they might be able to, on a ride day, they'll catch the horse, brush it, saddle it, that kind of thing. So they won't necessarily ride, but they'll be able to still have some interaction with horses, because 9 times out of 10 that's the draw card.
And they get a, you know, a special connection with the horse.
Then. Definitely.
I want to go back again and see the horse that I used to ride.
Yep,
you know?
Absolutely. Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for your time.
That's appreciate right. No it. Problem.
Every tangata fai takiwatanga is different. If you fail with one strategy, don't stop. Keep moving forward. Always remember that for every failure you encounter, it's one step closer to your success. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Memuto te fakawa haere. Let's stop judging others. Memahi tahi tato. Let's all work together. Kia maya, kia kaha, be brave and be strong.
Something like this at home.
It's all good.